I'm grateful to all the monastics for their teachings and living your life according to Dhamma, being different from conventions of this society. I grew up in the environment where any difference was met with hostility. I was bullied, I was robbed a few times, I didn't feel safe. No wonder the idea of the refuge always resonated with me, and I found the refuge not only in the Dhamma but also in this country, creating a safe environment to be different. However, even after living in very tolerant California for many years and generally feeling myself safe here, whenever I'm outdoors practicing walking meditation and I see or hear strangers approaching me, my mind begins to rush in anticipation that this encounter would turn hostile, and being on precepts makes me feel particularly vulnerable. Could you share some teaching about protecting qualities of the Dhamma and how I can feel less fear while keeping the precepts? Could some of the monastics share their stories of receiving unexpected kindness from seemingly hostile strangers, or stories of resolving physical or verbal attacks against them in a skillful way while wearing the robes and keeping the precepts? Thank you so much. But I think one is just to recognize that say as human beings, we are vulnerable, and if one has had experience of being threatened or being say bullied, abused in some way, there's a logical reason why one has a certain fear and anticipation, so that it's not unreasonable. But it's also it can be countered with qualities of protecting qualities of the Dhamma, and how as one keeps precepts and keeps a certain integrity, then and is harmless. That's one of the things of keeping precepts, is that one's quite harmless, and other people feel that, and they might not feel or see that immediately, but one story comes to mind of a monk being on a train. He's going to a teaching event in England, and I was over a weekend, which I think ended up being sort of a policy to try to avoid the train travel on the weekends. So the football hooligans are a presence in England there. And then as I think it was a monk and either two monks or a monk and an anagarika, I can't remember. Anyway, they were definitely dressed different than the football hooligans. They're drunk and they're making all sorts of comments but the person didn't respond and wasn't fearful, and just had a calm presence, and then it didn't take long. I can't remember the whole story, it's a long time ago now, but the head hooligan came and sort of started talking and then ended up sort of engaging in conversation, and then the monk had some things to say, and it sort of made the person kind of reflect, and then started sort of sharing and opening up about his life and you know, ended up sort of crying and you know, being sort of all, you know, sort of having sharing session with the monk on the train, you know, ended up being quite a sweet encounter. So those things happen, just as a monastic, then being helped by people in situations that normally one wouldn't expect. Thinking of the story of Ajahn Gunha, when he's a very good monk. He's still alive now, he was walking Tudong in the forest along the western border of Thailand. And it was in the days when there were still a lot of communist insurgents in the area, and he happened to wander into an insurgents' camp, and they were really hostile because they thought he must be a government spy, because he'd walked through. Because that whole area was mined, and he just walked through the minefields, and he didn't know. He was just on Tudong walking through the forest, and he got a hostile reception, and they questioned him for quite some time, days, this guy's for real. He's a monk. And then they, some days later, they escorted him out of that area, passed through the minefields, out to where he could continue his journey. And then they went back to their camp, and then they started talking, sort of, you know, it's really nice having you here. We should go and invite him to come back and spend the rains retreat with us. So there's a whole bunch, a whole contingent of the sort of trekking after him, and caught up with him and invited him to spend the rains retreat with them to be able to teach them. But he said no, he wouldn't be able to because he'd made commitments in other places. But that was began as a hostile confrontation. But it's just that presence of integrity and virtue and peace was something that had a stronger impact. And you know, I think say as monastics, we've all had occasions where we get people are either suspicious or you see that in say like maybe not suspicious, uncertain, so that you know say like Ajahn Sodanto going to live up in White Salmon, going alms around every day, when he first started going there, I'm sure it was sort of, you know, what the heck is this? And then now it's a real expected and a very welcome presence, seeing monks and alms around. It's a real, even if, and there's, of course, there's many, many people who are making regular offerings, but even for those who do, I'm sure that it's a real, just having that presence each day and has a big effect. similar. Ukiah, the same. Willits, we go, and these are sort of real American towns, and the people are respond in a very warm and trusting way after time.